Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Travis Bean, and today we have a very special guest, not just any guest. This guest has spoken to Kanye West, been in the same vicinity as Kanye West, breathed the same air as him. That is pretty rare. We get that on this show. We have the one and only Christina Binkley. How are you doing today, Christina?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Just a small little embarrassing note. We actually already talked for like 15 minutes and I forgot to hit record. So we're going to try to recapture some of this gold that we had going.
That was our rehearsal.
We have Christina on today because she wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal called The Creation and the Myth of Kanye West. It was an article I believe you wrote over a 9-month period, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it in about a week, but I spent 9 months on and off watching and observing and deciding if I wanted to write the piece. It took me a long time to think if I actually wanted to write something.
Yeah, I guess as a journalist, that would be pretty crazy if you wrote a story over a 9-month period.
You mean actual writing?
Pain. Like you just wrote like a couple words a day.
So horrible. I can't even think about that.
But yeah, so you spoke to Kanye West, you wrote a whole article on his fashion exploits. And before we launch into that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career and how you got to this point?
Sure. I'm a journalist. I've spent most of my career writing, as a beat reporter and writing business features and stories and news coverage for the Wall Street Journal. I am now a freelancer. I left the journal as a staff writer a couple of years ago, although I still write for the magazine pretty frequently. And I, at some point after years covering the casino industry, I started writing, I became the Wall Street Journal's fashion columnist, which had me traveling around going to fashion shows in Paris and Milan and London and New York and sort of learning to understand this strange industry that we call fashion. I'm not a fashion person, so it was an exercise. And along the way, I started bumping into Kanye West. This is like 10 years ago when he was starting his fashion sort of attempts, beating his head against the wall, trying to break into the industry. And I found it very curious that he would want to do that. And sort of over a decade, that sort of bubbled up into the article that just ran.
Mm. I got to get into an industry where I just bump into Kanye West. Like that's the dream right there.
For you. Yeah. I mean, it's been a strange experience and a real privilege over, I had these crazy industries, because the casino business I covered for years, and then the fashion industry. I've written a little bit about Hollywood. And so, I've just had these jobs where you do bump into people. When I was much younger reporter, I remember somebody saying, I was going off to meet, I can't remember, some billionaire famous person, something actor maybe. And they just sort of grizzled editor said, just remember, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you. I was like, oh. But that actually, when I was younger and sort of more in awe of the people I was interviewing and meeting, that advice actually helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on something earlier, back when I forgot to hit record, like it was my first week on a reporting job, that Kanye, the energy of Kanye at a fashion show is like, he's a guy that's not supposed to be there. And that really was the story of him it's really always been the story of him because, you know, at the beginning of his career, he was a producer and people told him not to rap. And look what he went on to do. And he's kind of done the same thing of fashion. That must be interesting. That's an interesting energy to be around, like somebody who's kind of outside and not supposed to be there and suddenly just kind of commanding the room.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, two things. I mean, I didn't know this when he was starting all the his fashion exploits, as he called them. But I've since learned that is a prime motivator for him in anything. Like if you tell him not to do it, he is going to want to do it. He literally cannot stand to be told not to do something. And I mean, I wondered actually during some of the reporting, the conversations I had with him, what it would have been like. I'm a mom, so I see things through mom eyes, you know, and I used to think what on earth must have been to be his mom when he was a little boy and saying, you know, don't stick your finger in the fan because
yeah,
probably stick his finger in the fan.
Yeah, most definitely.
And that was true in fashion. Fashion people are not impressed at another famous person who wants to come along and be a fashion designer. There's so much of that. So he didn't have his star power wasn't as helpful. I mean, he had money and he had enough, he got to have some fashion shows, but the people sitting at those fashion shows were not going to be impressed unless he did something that actively in the fashion impressed them. So he had a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, I mean, you bumped into him at shows and stuff, but what came the moment where you finally decided to write an article about him, and how does one even like contact a Kanye West and like get into his space in his studio or wherever where like he does all of his ideas?
Well, that's what this was kind of a weird thing because I wasn't intending to. His people reached out to me in a kind of an odd way. I can't honestly remember exactly how it happened. I think somebody DM'd me on Instagram or something and said this thing was going on and he was going to create the perfect hoodie. And I sort of rolled my eyes. and, you know, I mean, I had been pretty harsh critic of his earlier fashion, the stuff that he'd put out in Paris years ago. So I entertained a conversation with this person. It wasn't Kanye. It was somebody who works with him. And it wasn't, there was no press people. He doesn't really now, very recently he's hired a press team, but he didn't have anybody for most of the past year. Just didn't really have the typical entourage that a celebrity have. Anyway, so I was having this conversation on and off with this person about what Kanye was up to. And, he made it clear that Kanye was interested in something being written about sort of his sort of reemergence into fashion. It wasn't clear what he was thinking. I think he wanted a sort of Kanye reborn kind of piece. Mm-hmm. And these conversations went on for months and I was sort of putting it off going, I just didn't find anything that other than his celebrity that really struck me as something I wanted to write about until I started sort of thinking about all of the bad things I've written about his fashion designs. And then, and I thought, you know, like I'd actually been saying this to people, the colors that he started doing when he reintroduced Yeezy in New York, and it became, instead of him trying to do high luxury fashion, it sort of became, the first couple of collections were with Adidas. I don't know if you remember that. And they were like underwear or t-shirts. The clothing itself wasn't remarkable, but the colors were remarkable at the time. And if I go back in my memory, I remember that first show he did in New York, sitting there thinking, why is he putting a whole bunch of weirdly colored sort of beigey, pinky, ochery underwear here, and why are we all sitting here looking at this, right? And I sort of walked out, probably wrote something, I don't even remember what it was, and didn't think about it again. And then he did it another couple of seasons. And then, of course, you fast forward 5 years, and oh my God, the whole freaking world is wearing those colors. You know?
You're right.
Snuck up on me. And I think I started to think, well, it snuck up on all of us, and I don't think he's even credited with that, really. It's a strange but rather amazing phenomenon to change the colors that people are interested in wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting to have the fashion insight, because, you know, we all see those Yeezy seasons as Kanye fans and just like bug-eyed, like all jaw dropped, like love it because it's Kanye and we love Kanye. But
yeah,
I guess from your perspective, what do you see now in his work that's evolved and matured? Like, do you like what he's putting out now?
Yeah, I do a lot. First of all, it's not just silly, goofy ideas that haven't been finished properly. The first collections mm-hmm. that he did when he had a collection, and he never even quite figured out what to call it. He did those two shows in Paris. And most people now just say that was the Kanye West collection. Yeezy hadn't happened yet. But at the time, he named it after his mom. It was going to be like the Donde collection. It wasn't clear. And anyway, those were just, I mean, they were bad collections. We have to face it. The stuff looked silly. It didn't fit with models right. But there were ideas in there that have become trends since then, like using shearling on the exterior of shoes instead of the interior of shoes. But now if you look at what he's doing, for one thing, like the show that he just had in Paris, I forget, I think it was 18 looks. It was really finite. He chose the things that he's putting out there. They do look a little Star Warsy. We know he's into Star Wars. But okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There was nothing extra in any of those. I mean, there wasn't even an extra T-shirt. It was the items, almost like a museum collection would be done. You choose the specific finest pieces and you do them. Now, whether or not you want to wear that is another thing. Some people don't want to wear a puffer vest and sort of, you know, dirt color, but they are what they are, and you can look at those clothes and know that Kanye West designed them. Those are clearly Yeezy. You would never mistake it for anybody else's designs.
Yeah,
and that's, of course, that's a brand. That's what fashion is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So over the course of the 9 months of the back and forth, the communication, how did you find a through line to shape all of that information you were getting into what you put together? Like, when did the story really start to come together to you?
I guess it was probably this fall. I started to realize, it was November. Mm-hmm. And I met with him when he was doing the opera here in Los Angeles. He did an opera, Nebuchadnezzar, at the Hollywood Bowl. And that was the first time I saw the vest. I had been learning about the perfect hoodie for a while. And I kind of was just intrigued at this idea of trying to perfect something that's not, you know, it's a hoodie, like everybody does, mm-hmm. right? But he wanted this very special hoodie. The first one that I saw, I think I saw it in September. I wish I'd put it on a scale. I mean, that hoodie was so heavy, that material that it was made of, that I'm going to guess it weighed 10 pounds. I'm not very good at weighing, but that would be like two bags of flour, right? Yeah, it probably weighed about 10 pounds. It was crazy. And so by the fall, I was like, I think there's something I want to write about. It's been bugging me for years. Why the hell does this guy care so much about doing fashion? And let me just find out. And so that became the through line for me, is, you know, why does he care about fashion? And then I sort of had to deal with these other things. Thank God I didn't have to go through the whole Taylor Swift saga stuff.
There's things
come through his life that you just there had to be Trump in this piece, right? Because you can't write about Kanye and his fashion without everybody being, oh my God, what about Trump with the MAGA hat? So I was very proud of myself to write the whole piece and never once mention the Taylor Swift saga. So that I'm glad that I don't even really understand that. You probably understand that way better than I do.
Du bist im Studium, in der Ausbildung oder unterrichtest? Dann sicher dir jetzt 10% Education-Rabatt auf alle MacBooks bei Implement IT. Und weil du es bist, geben wir dir beim Kauf eines MacBook Air die passenden AirPods der 4. Generation kostenlos dazu. Ideal für Uni, Schule, Ausbildung oder für Netflix in der Bib. Wir sagen's nicht weiter. Implement IT, dein Apple Premium Partner.
Yeah, and can you touch on the Trump stuff really quick for anyone who hasn't written about it and how that factored in?
Oh yeah, I back to that idea of you can't tell Kanye West not to do something because he'll do it. Mm-hmm. I realized it took me a long time to understand this. This is an apolitical guy, to be honest with you. He's, you know, you're just not going to sit down and talk through political concepts or strategies or what these issues are. He is focused on his issues and that's it, period. And yet he's become so closely allied with Donald Trump and Make America Great Again that you really can't mention Kanye to any human being without them bringing that up. And having many conversations, it seemed like, with him about that, I realized that every time I would prod him and ask him about it, it would always come back to his basic point is, don't tell me I have to be a Democrat because I'm black. And he came back to that so many times that I realized that is the bottom line. Like, he is not going to be a Democrat because you told him that he should be a Democrat. And I think he likes Donald Trump a lot. I mean, clearly he does. And they have temperaments that are not dissimilar. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Kanye likes Trump because Trump was told he can't be president, just like Kanye and everything he's done in his career. Like, he obviously relates to him.
Yeah, completely.
So in this question, I really want to ask because it'll be good prep for me when I someday get to interview Kanye. What is it like when you step into the room finally with Kanye and you're ready to interview him, like, what is it like? What's it like to ask Kanye West the question, all your preconceived notions about him and everything you think you know about him, you come in and like, you're ready to talk to him. What's it like communicating with him?
That's interesting. When I sat down to have an actual in-depth conversation with him the first time, I'd met him a few times before over the years. I had conceptions mm-hmm. about him that way. And I just say, you know, having spent more time with him now, I would say he strikes me as kind of fragile. He's not like a big, loud person. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that he could stand in the corner of a room and nobody would notice him. that sort of happened at one point in this whole process. There were some people in his studio and I started talking with them and other people joined in, and pretty soon it was like this blah, blah, blah conversation. And then I realized, oh my God, we totally forgot Kanye. He's standing over there. How rude, you know? So I don't know whether he minded that or not. I have no idea. He might have, but he's not a loud person. And he repeats, you know, after multiple conversations, he comes back to the same themes over and over. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and which is probably a wise thing, you know, he's got a message that he wants to get out there. I think he's pretty smart about getting out there. He's clearly super bright. And I think he's focused on his things in a way that it's like a terrier. He's not going to let go of them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was helpful to me as a journalist in sort of, again, trying to understand what these underlying sort of urges are within him to want to do these things. He's not articulate in the way that he could sort of, like, some politicians are really good and some CEOs right. are really good about, you know, that you ask them a question and they, in 8 words, they wrap it all up. And that's not Kanye. Like, he's going to start and it's going to be kind of circular and it's going to go around. And then at the very end, the conversation will sort of tail back to where it began and you have your answer. And it might take 30 minutes to do that.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at is, like, when you ask Kanye a question, like, it is not the normal question answer process. He is somebody who kind of, I think, as you said, has these themes he wants to hit. And can it feel like sometimes he's not answering your question?
Well, it does at first.
Yeah.
Like, I asked you about the color blue and you're all off telling me the sun is yellow. What? You know, and then, but then it comes back. And sometimes to so many other places that when he comes back to it, you've forgotten you started there. And you, then you'll be like, oh my God, yeah, that's right. I did ask that question. So, but I don't mind, you know, honestly, I like interviews that are conversations and not, I don't go into interviews with like a list of questions I want to answer. So I think people reveal themselves in conversation in really intriguing ways. And so I found that pleasant. I enjoyed my conversations with him.
Yeah. What do you think would surprise people most about Kanye that you learned? Just like, maybe it's just like normal everyday interactions of him or something you saw in a studio, the way he works. Like, what's something like an insight you got into Kanye that you don't think most people get?
Well, I put one of them in the story that he wore Hanes brief, the knit boxer briefs. Mm-hmm. I did not put in the story that he had, when he took his shoes off at one point and he wore REI socks. Those, you know, do you know what REI is?
I do not know.
Oh, REI are these, it's called, I think it stands for recreational equipment, something incorporated or something. It's outdoor stores and they sell really good, rugged outdoors gear. It's not a luxury company at all, but if you want to buy a good backpack to go hiking in the Sierras, go to REI. And he had REI brand socks on. It really struck me as not, you know, for a guy who wants to be in luxury fashions, like spending his life in luxury fashion, that's sort of, I guess it would be a little bit like wearing Tevas to Paris Fashion Week or something. Would be
right.
You can see that now, but like 5 years ago, that would have been like, oh my God, Tevas. Anyway, I thought, you know, he's just like, obviously, if you look at the underwear and socks that people wear as sort of a characteristic that speaks to who they really are, you'd have to say, underlying all this stuff, Kanye West is really a practical guy that likes stuff that's fairly priced.
Yeah. Again, the fashion insight. I wanted to ask this, but I don't want to sound dumb because if there's anybody who's the opposite of fashion, it's me. But like he seems to really have this like kind of blue collary look lately. You know what I mean?
Blue collary, huh?
Like a working man, you know, like out in the ranch and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you find that interesting? And is there something, I don't know, that like reveals something about him, like that style of dressing?
Well, it's except that that's been like a chic thing in the fashion business.
Okay.
It started quite a few years ago now, but like flannel shirts got to be really big. And so it's hard for me to tell when Kanye's doing that, whether he's picking up on what's highly fashionable that you're seeing with all these fashion people who, you know, I find it's discomforting to watch it happening because it's a little bit along the lines of slumming when you see people who have a closet full of Gucci and Louis Vuitton and now they're like, oh, look at my LL Bean flannel shirt. But with Kanye, then, you know, if you look at this ranch thing and he's in love with Wyoming now. And, and so I think those, you know, it does kind of make sense. He's totally into the Wyoming thing right now. He gets it wrong in a lot of places. Like he keeps talking about sage that grows growing on the ranch. And at first I was like, sage grows on a ranch? No, but sage is a Mediterranean herb. What is it doing on? And then it turned out he's talking about sagebrush, which is a totally different, you know, thing entirely. So he's learning. It's not like he has a lot of experience. And I worry a little bit about the environment. He's got those Sherps, those all-terrain vehicles that are gigantic and frightening looking. I got a fleet of them. Just, I hope.
Did you get on one?
Nope.
No, thank you.
Well, I would. I mean, if I had, you know, an opportunity, but I don't think they're very good for the environment at all. Like nightmare.
Yeah.
They're like a Putin vehicle. I mean, they're literally Russian. They're a Putin vehicle.
I'm really curious about like the Kanye creative space, because one of the famous stories about him on, when he was on his Yeezus tour, is that he had the movie The Holy Mountain playing in the background on backstage, mm-hmm. because he really wanted to capture like the feel of that movie, and he wanted to inform everybody who was like out there doing the show with him. And I know he kind of did something similar. He had, what did he have? Aguirre, The Wrath of God, was that playing in the background, right?
Oh, you mean in his studio there on the screens?
Yeah.
He had, it was a program, so throughout the day it would change. Like every time you'd look at it, it would be another movie. There was some anime in there. The thing is that he didn't know what that was. Like I asked him at one point, what's that up there? And he was like, I don't know. And I said, well, who decides? And he said, well, somebody programs it. So I don't know how much that, whoever programmed it clearly knew that he would like that kind of thing up there, but I don't think he's sort of a film aficionado of the stuff that was up there. He does bring up film a lot though.
Yeah.
Well, even like he's talked about his Deadpool year. He, you know, compared the year that sort of everything went wrong and he ended up hospitalized as Deadpool, which, you know, it tells you a lot about how he, what a sucky year that was. but also that you can kind of come through it whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually really want to get into his relationship with movies and how you read that, because Chris and I, before we ever did the Kanye West podcast, we wrote about movies, and that was like the trajectory of our career. And we started talking about Kanye because we saw his albums as movies. You know, we saw narratives and we knew that Kanye really liked movies. So I'm just wondering, like, what do you think that reveals about him that he like brings up movies so much and sees them as such a big part of his life?
I think he's highly, highly visual. I think everything, I mean, I know Vanessa Beecroft at one point, I bumped into her a lot working on this too. She's an artist and best known really as a performance artist. This Italian, but she's moved to the United States for years and has been a longtime collaborator with him. I'm sorry, you and everybody who listens to this probably knows that. So, she showed me these drawings that she had, like sheafs of drawings on her lap one time. And I was like, well, what is that? And she told me that that was how she communicated with Kanye when they're doing projects, that she didn't put words, she didn't use words, she didn't put words on paper. She would draw a picture and give it to him. And then that was like a super fast way for him to grasp what she was getting at and sort of get the whole concept. And I noticed that too. He is a visual person. He did have words around the studio to remind him of things, but it would be like a word or two words. Mm-hmm. And then everything else was drawings. When he was working with Tessa, his head designer, like they would stand there and stare at whatever they were working, like when they were working on the vest. And then they would like bunch it up and then try some pins here and then stretch it out over here and then stand back and sort of stare at for a really long time with no words and then bunch it up a little more, you know, that sort of the whole process.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I suspect that in terms of entertainment or communicating or storytelling, that for him, film, I mean, if you're a super visual person, film is going to be it, right?
Right.
In terms of storytelling. I think that's really interesting. I would love to have talked with you before I was writing this article, or as I was writing it, actually, because that's an interesting perspective on him that you have.
Yeah.
His albums are movies.
Yeah. We've always said that if we ever get Kanye on the show, we kind of just want to talk about movies with him. Like, we don't want to do the typical Kanye interview and like get deep into, like, we think we could find so much if we just ask him about his favorite movies and like what really, yeah, I don't know. That would be amazing.
Have you invited him onto your show?
kind of don't know how to. I mean, we've touched base with a lot of people like in his universe, in the Kanye universe. But no, we've never like formally reached out.
Oh, I think you should.
Yeah, we probably should.
I think you might really enjoy that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he would. I think he would like talking about something other than everything that he's always asked in those kind of interviews.
Yeah, well, whatever you ask him, he'll answer what he wants to answer.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he might really want to talk about those things. I suspect he will.
Yeah. Yeah, hope. Oh, well, one of these days we'll muster up the strength to do it. But I actually was kind of going off the movie thing and the movies he has playing in the background. What is his creative space like? Like, how does he interact with people in his camp? You know, because we hear a lot of stuff about the way he makes music and how he is extremely collaborative and how a lot of his fans kind of don't like that about him now. You know, he used to be this guy who was holed up in a studio by himself, making all the beats himself. And now he sees so much value in having all these people around him feeding him ideas. Is it similar with fashion?
Massively. Not just fashion, everything else he's doing too. All the projects that I saw him working on, it was collaborations. And, you know, he brings like the artist Meg Webster, for instance, who he's brought in, and she's consulting with him on several of his projects that he's doing in Wyoming. She did some installations, some art installations for this show that he did in Paris. And you know, Meg Webster is like she's a big name, and she's had a very big and long career. She's about to have a retrospective at the DIA. You know, she's not the kind of person that you would expect a rapper to say, mm-hmm. you know, come help me with this project that's, you know, I mean, she's not an architect. She's not designing a house. She's an artist. Right. So, but I mean, she's just one person of many who are there who he sort of collects. I mean, he heard about James Turrell, the light artist who's been creating a sort of extraordinary monument in Northern Arizona over many, many decades. And Kanye has started financially supporting this now, but also then has brought Turrell in, and Turrell is also sort of consulting, I don't know, I guess that's the right word, but you know, working with, collaborating with Kanye on these ideas that Kanye has about the shapes of rooms and the way light enters them and the way we perceive light. And all of this stuff is him sort of create, you know, just reaching out for people that he hears about. I mean, at one point in the studio, we were just talking. I can't even remember the subject came up, but somebody mentioned the fashion brand Bottega Veneta, who has a very hot new designer now for the last year or so. And the last designer of Bottega Veneta, a guy by the name of Thomas Meyer, his name came up, Thomas has disappeared for the last couple of years since he lost that job at Bottega, and his own like named brand, his eponymous brand, was closed because it was owned by the same company. And this sort of came up in conversation, and then Kanye looked at me and he goes, well, so where is Thomas Meyer now? And I said, I guess he's in Florida. That's where he used to live. And then he just got quiet and he thought for a minute. And I thought, oh my God, you know, he's probably going to reach out. Thomas Meyer is going to end up in this whole thing. I have no idea if that's the case. I've not, you know, asked anything about it or said anything since then. But that's sort of the way it works. Or he'll say, Lawrence Chambers, who's works with him on his team, was sort of tasked with finding people to bring in new ideas. And so Lawrence mm-hmm. then found Dawn Goldworm, who is works with scents, and she's the one who created the scent for Yeezy now, and will be creating some other ones. And you know, Dawn's this incredible person who has a business. When Christie's had its old Masters week last year and was selling, you know, all these old master paintings and sculptures and things like that. They hired Dawn to do the scent of old masters to scent that room. Nike hires her to do the scent of Nike. So when you open a box of Nike sneakers, there will be a scent that comes out of that. And that's actually been created by Dawn. And you know, so now she's working with Kanye West because he asked somebody to go find an extraordinary scent person, and they did. So yes, collaborative to the extreme. I think he talked about this to me, saying that he's sort of now in a position of never doing anything himself, but having to sort of discuss his vision and articulate his vision for all of these people that he's working with so they understand where he's going with it. And that's really how he sees what his job is now.
Hmm. As somebody who's been in the fashion game for so long, is that atypical, or is that something do you often see with people?
That's totally typical. That's the way it works. So take Karl Lagerfeld. Like, he was designing Fendi and Chanel and his own Karl Lagerfeld and plus many other projects for many years. One human being could never have designed all that stuff, right? So he would be providing the direction for Fendi this season or Chanel this season or whatever it was. And then there would be literally hundreds of people that would go out and create that.
Hmm. All the interactions you had with them, is there any specific event, conversation, moment, maybe it made it into the article, maybe it didn't, that has just stuck with you the most, and this is how you remember Kanye?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. It would be hard to choose one. Largely, I think because, you know, he's not like a huge personality. I think I sort of talked about that a little before. So I've found myself feeling, you know, affectionate toward him because there's a sweetness there. And probably, you know, I told you I'm a mom, so I see things through mom's eyes. But after his show in Paris, his oldest daughter, North, had rapped a little bit at the end of the fashion show with the mic up there. And I was looking at Kanye while she was doing that, and he was like in total dad ecstasy. he was just so enjoying. And I met North a few times before. I also wrote about Kim Kardashian a while back, and North had come to an interview that I did with her. And so I'd got to say, North is she's like a little carbon copy of Kanye, and loves to be out in front, loves to be performing. And after there was this horrible crush where people were trying to get at Kanye, and his guards were trying to get him to safety inside after that. And when we sort of got extracted from that mess, he didn't even think about that. He was just so excited about what North had done. And I used a quote from that where he said, "I'm really feeling like a dad now," but he just couldn't calm down about that. And then North was, they were doing a photo shoot with, it was going to be Kim and Kanye and North in the photo shoot, and then North kicked her parents off the photo stage because she wanted to be photographed by herself. And they were just so enraptured with their daughter. It was really sweet. It was adorable.
Huh. Were any of Kanye's family members there when you went to the space to do your article?
When I was at his office?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see any of his family members there then.
Okay.
They were in Calabasas at home, I know, because he talked to Kim and some of the other household staff a few times.
And I guess, like, moving, you know, whatever you gathered in your conversations about Kanye, like, what do you think is next for Kanye moving forward, fashion wise? Like, what does he have planned next?
I mean, he didn't tell me. I didn't ask him about it. This whole collection came together so weirdly and so quickly. It was just like a head spin. I had literally no idea that there would be a collection or a fashion show when I started. I was told you in the fall, I sort of decided, oh, I want to write about this. And the idea was, I'm going to write about why on earth this guy keeps banging his head against the wall going, I want to do fashion. and nobody says we want you to do fashion, but he's going to do it anyway. And then like, so we, then I start reporting it. I'm going to Sunday services. I'm getting to know his team. And then suddenly it's like, boom, I'm going to have a fashion show. I've got to do a collection in 9 days. It was a little longer than that actually, but like literally fewer than 3 weeks, that whole thing came together. Now I totally forgot where I was going. Oh, next, what's next? I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he went out to try to get some investors. That, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I didn't see any evidence of that, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think he clearly wants to grow the Yeezy brand. And I think, you know, he clearly wants to continue doing more collections. I would not anticipate that he'll do them on any kind of a regular fashion schedule that's been traditional in the past. I think he'll do them when he damn well pleases, and put on that, by the way, because you know, the fashions, there's just too many clothes and too many collections, and it's not economically sustainable. So that should, even without COVID-19. And I think that we now know what the Yeezy look is, right? I mean, Kanye's not going to do tailored suit wear for the office. It's definitely going to be this sort of homemade. I mean, the stuff that the stitching and everything that he does, it almost looks like somebody did it at home in their living room, but it's intentional to look like that. He wants that sort of space age pioneer look. And I would certainly anticipate that we'll continue to see that. We'll continue to see those colors, because that's what he does.
What's a conversation that we should be having about Kanye that hasn't really been had yet?
Is there a conversation
that hasn't been had about Kanye? Well, you would have the insight.
Podcast about Kanye. Are you kidding?
I know. What do we need to be talking about?
It seems to me that the merest hiccup gets discussed, you know, ad nauseum, but people are fixated on the, you know, he's a polemic personality. So people get fixated on this. So, you know, it's Kanye and Trump, it's Kanye and Taylor Swift. These like are themes that keep coming back. People are so ready to be outraged. I actually had to, after the Wall Street Journal magazine piece published a couple weeks ago, it was so disappointing to look at my own Twitter feeds and the haters that came
out. Welcome to my life.
Oh my God. and then there's the fans. And so then the haters are taking on the fans, and the fans are taking on the haters, and everybody's been so insulting to each other. And these sort of threads would go off. I just said to stop looking. Because it was a lesson for me, and I can't imagine how you deal with that every week, because people are making these assumptions that are pretty intense about a person that they've never met or talked with. And I think I think that what's missing from the conversation about Kanye is just talking about him as a human being. He's so famous now that if he lifts his little finger, people write about it and talk about it. But, you know, he's trying to eat good food and be healthy, and he's trying to raise his kids. And he like really enjoys the rough and tumble of four little kids falling all over the house and getting in arguments with each other. The thing is that if you talk about that and write about that, then it's another one of these sort of silly celebrity profiles where they invite somebody in to write about this stuff. I don't know how you talk about Kanye in a way that people sort of calm down and say, this is a man, a normal man.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all the questions I have. And typically we end the show with asking your top five favorite Kanye songs, but I'm not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
Because that would be painful.
I couldn't name five Kanye.
Can you even name five Kanye songs? How about that? Let's play this game.
Okay. I cannot. The answer is short.
You don't even know Gold Digger?
Well, if you say it, then I recognize it.
Oh, okay. So, okay, that's a fun game.
To just sit and name them.
Okay. Here's a fun game. I'll name a song, and you tell me if it is or isn't a Kanye song.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm going to be so embarrassed.
Okay. Stronger.
I don't know.
But yes or no, those are your two options. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know is not an option.
No.
It is. It's a very famous one, actually. My name is Kanye West, and I'm here to say it's fun to rap in a Kanye West way.
That's true.
No, that is not a Kanye.
Oh, my God. See, I told you.
Okay.
I literally am not, I'm just not familiar with his music. I was literally interested in the man in writing this piece and not writing out of a point of view of fandom.
Well, you wrote a great article. I was able to read it before the Wall Street Journal subscriber blocked me. You know, the little thing that pops up.
Oh.
I was able to get my one Wall Street Journal article in this month, so I got to read it. And you wrote a great article. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, that's all we have for now. But until next time, stay wavy.
Very good. This was a pleasure. You have a great, and stay safe. Stay safe and healthy these days.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the